You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome into the All Things Bama Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Woods. As always, I am joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. We are back today with a jam-packed show with a ton of topics from the last week to get into. But before we do any of that, I got to remind you both to follow myself and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_ and at JoeGaither6. Make sure you follow the show. Give us a five-star rating on whatever platform you get your podcast from, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. Make sure you also go follow the Joe Gaither Show, rate it 5 stars as well, so you can hear whatever we don't get into on this program. I got a handful of things to get into today. I want to start things off with some recruiting updates. Alabama added its first commitment of the summer this week and looks to be maybe closing in on a few more as well. I want to also get into revenue sharing a little bit and what it means for Alabama. Athletic Director Greg Byrne made a few radio appearances this week to discuss the topics. We can get into what he had to say about it. I want to also, speaking of radio discussions, get into a little bit of what Ryan Grubb had to say on Ryan Fowler's show, The Game. I think it was just yesterday that he made his appearance there. Talked about the quarterback situation a little bit, talked about kind of his philosophy when selecting a quarterback, so we will get into that, and then if we got a little time at the end, we'll shut it down with a few quick stories from the week. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Joe, how you doing today?
Oh, great, great. Thank you so much for your time. I want to apologize to your listeners for my... I was there last week, but I was not there last week. We're going to do a little bit better today, and I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, let's get right into it then. We'll start with some recruiting updates. Alabama had a pretty big week on the recruiting trail. You land your first commitment of the summer with four-star offensive lineman Sam Utu from Orange, California. Now, I'm not going to try to say his full actual name. He is a Samoan gentleman, and he has a very lengthy full name that is very difficult to say, and I tried to look up a pronunciation and couldn't even find anything. As I understand it, though, he does just choose to go by Sam Utu, so we will stick with that. Chooses Alabama over Texas, Tennessee, and Washington. Joins Chris Booker as the second offensive lineman in the class. We talked about him a lot on your show on Wednesday. Make sure you go listen to it. But just to get back into it a bit, he's entirely too good not to talk about again. Like, if you're active on Twitter, I'm sure you probably saw the clips of him working out, you know, doing hurdles, doing like box jumps, all kind of lunges and squats and things. Like, very, very fluid movement for someone his size. 6'4", 320 pounds, and the guy moves like a gazelle. It's really, really impressive. He has played he played mostly tackle last season, but I think he's played all along the offensive line. Not exactly sure where he projects as. You know, I mentioned he's only 6'4", so he's a little bit limited in the size department if you want to put him at tackle, but he has he looks at least to have the athleticism to play it.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, he looks like he's got really nice feet, really, really, really solid feet. And I think that when what we saw on tape is when his hands get into you, yeah, that you're not moving. We talked about it a little bit. Maybe pad level needs to be improved, mm-hmm, or hip level needs to be improved just a little bit. But that's high school. That's just part of a high school lineman learning and developing for the future. He looks like he's got a lot of tools and just light feet, really light, mm-hmm, feet.
Yeah, I mentioned it when we talked about him on Wednesday's show, on your show. One of the things that did jump out to me initially was just that when you watch his highlights, he is a loose, cotton t-shirt, undershirt guy. No accessories, no gloves, no visor. You know, I don't even know if he had knee braces on. Like, the guy is all about business, and that seems to be the way that he plays. I couldn't even really find him on social media. I do think he has, like, an Instagram account, but it is set to private, and he had, like, 25 followers on it. So
we like that.
Yes,
we
love this kind of guy.
That's a guy who's about business.
Yes, I think he is hopefully just all about business. It certainly seems like he is. The next biggest news from the week, no more recruitments, or no more commitments, but you did have a few guys name Alabama in their top schools. First one was Deacon Schmidt, a four-star offensive tackle from Windsor, Colorado. Down to Alabama, Oklahoma, and Colorado will be announcing his commitment on June 28th. 6'5", 320 pounds, so a little bit bigger than our friend Sam Utu, was going to visit Nebraska and USC this summer, canceled his remaining visits. He was in Tuscaloosa just last month on May 30th. I mean, just another really solid offensive tackle prospect from everything I've seen. I think On3 ranks him the number 29th offensive tackle in the nation. So, I think Alabama is just kind of targeting a handful of solid line, tackles in this class. Seems like, you know, between Chris Booker, Sam Utu, and now potentially Deacon Schmidt, looks like the Crimson Tide is trying to make a splash in that department. You know, not that they've, like, done poorly there recently or anything like that, but I think anytime you can get as much talent as it looks like they're going after, you take it. The next guy, Kamari Brooks. This one I am very, very excited about, me and Joe. In preparation for hopefully what will be, who knows, maybe a commitment later this week. Took the time to watch some of his film and go over it a little bit with each other. And this kid, four-star edge rusher, Kamari Brooks from Bogart, Georgia. Wow.
Oh.
I mean, like.
Offense or defense? Which one? What side?
Football player. This guy is a football player. Down to just Alabama and Georgia as his two finalists. Has already visited both schools. Was in Tuscaloosa last
How much
weekend.
Money do you need, sir? How much?
Yeah, you can have anything.
I'm donating to this fund.
Yeah. Sign me up for, I'll buy his jersey right now. I'll buy 15 of his jerseys right now. This kid is spectacular. Like, you watch his highlight tape. You know, you watch that junior season tape. I think between me and Joe watching it together yesterday, kind of talking about it, and then this morning I watched it three or four more times.
Like, it's that good.
It is so good. The very first clip on there, you know immediately, like, oh, wow, this guy's a player.
And he's not making the tackle on that first clip.
No, he is not making the tackle on that clip. He is setting the edge against a pulling guard and a running back or a tight end that's coming across the formation, and both try to block him. And he hits that guard with the force of 1,000 semi-trucks, puts him on his back, puts the running back on his back, and then, you know, whoever else is there cleans up the rest of the play. It was, and it's just like, oh my God, tone setter, absolute tone setter, this guy. You watch the rest of it. He's got really, really good bend. He is super athletic, very fast. He's able to hound quarterbacks down if they're running, you know, trying to get out of the pocket. He chases them down. And then you see little flashes. Oh, he plays some H-back, a little bit of running back, a little bit of tight end maybe. Just all over the field. The guy does it all. So I definitely think he projects as an edge rusher for sure. 6'4", 220 pounds. I think Alabama wants him to play that wolf position. But hey, if you find yourself in a spot where, hey, we need an extra body in there, he's definitely got the experience on the offensive side to help you out. I cannot stress enough, like, how badly you need to go consume his highlights if you have not familiarized yourself with Mr. Kamari Brooks.
I will be very sad if he does not pick
me
it.
Too.
That will be one. Like, I don't really get hung up on recruiting because, you know, you never know what they're going to turn out to be. But that's one that I would love it if he was in Tuscaloosa and developed in Tuscaloosa. And if you make it, son, make it here. And if you don't make it, if you weren't going to make it anywhere, that's okay. I don't want you to potentially make it somewhere. Because I think that what you see on tape translates to the college game very well. Translates to Kane Womack's system very well. He looks like a wolf that's just ready to go. Now, obviously, you got to, you know, take that step forward for college football.
But turn that 220 into about a 240, and we're really talking.
Yeah, I think that's one that I want bad.
Yeah, I am in complete agreement there. And, you know, like I mentioned, he was in Tuscaloosa this past weekend, June 6th. And from everything I've seen, it went really, really, really well for him. You know, like, he was expected to take more visits this summer. As soon as he left Tuscaloosa, he said, no, I'm shutting down the rest of the recruitment, deciding between my first two visits here, Alabama and Georgia. So I think the Tide is very close to landing him. we will, you know, we'll just have to kind of have to see as the week goes on. You saw the recruiting rumor mill firing up this weekend with Courtney Morgan throwing out the elephant emoji. Hayes Fawcett from On Three throwing out the, you know, elephant emoji times three. So it certainly seems like a lot of things are moving that way, and we'll get into a little bit of that there. I think two of the guys maybe to watch out for this week that are potentially leaning towards the Crimson Tide for their commitments are five-star Jaira Edwards, safety from St. Francis in Baltimore, Maryland. You know, high school program that I think a lot of us are familiar with if you're an Alabama fan. Alabama has gone to that well before. I believe that's where Chris Braswell came from. And then, was it? It was the this guy did not have a great career at Alabama. He was that really
Yabianoma,
yeah, yeah. Didn't have a didn't turn out for him at Alabama, but a very highly rated recruit coming out of high school.
Mental health issues.
Yeah, I think a lot of things did not quite go his way when he got here. You know, and it was a lot of extenuating circumstances that kind of contributed to his problems.
Can we say this now? Can I say this story? I'm pretty sure he would. Oh gosh, the Dan Le Batard sounder. Reckless speculation needs to be said here just to protect ourselves. But I'm pretty sure that I've heard. It's either because Ajayi Hall was I'm going to shoot Coach Saban, right?
That is what I have heard.
Yabianoma was bomb threat to the building.
Not great if that is true. Again, you know, alleged, but we've heard it from some relatively reputable people in the past, and I think we're far enough removed now that it's not going to affect either of them. Not great. Not really what you're looking for there. But regardless, Jaira Edwards, very talented safety prospect, 6'2", 205 pounds. Guy plays like his head is on fire. You know, obviously, he's very skilled in the coverage, but he is not afraid to get dirty if he needs to. Like, he steps into the box, basically plays like an extra linebacker sometimes, and just delivers some crushing hits. I am very, very excited about this guy. I really think Alabama is at the top of his list, and he is certainly at the top of theirs.
When we watched him, so I had this experience. I watched Jaira Edwards first, and we talked about him, and I was like, that's the guy you need. And then we're going to talk about the next guy, but then we got back to Kamari Brooks. I see two players in Jaira Edwards and Kamari Brooks that are square peg, square hole to Kane Womack's defense. You see a great Husky, a great future Husky. He plays kind of outside linebacker a little. Mm-hmm. He plays in the box slot, strong safety. He was lined up man-on-man in the slot, and he was lined up man-on-man on the outside. He looks like a player like that looks a little Malachi Moore-ish, but bigger and a little more violent. Looks a little thicker than, a little shorter, not as long of arms as Red Morgan, but in that same, this is... He just looks like a perfect Husky for this system.
You know who he kind of makes me think of that I was very excited that did end up transferring out, but defensive Devontae Smith.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, you know, just like the guy just delivers hits. You know, Bray Hubbard has that mentality about him, doesn't quite have the size and the physicality to bring with it, but he certainly got the mentality of like, put my body on the line. I'm gonna make you try to fumble this ball. But Jaira Edwards like has the size and everything to come with it, and he delivers some hits.
That part and what I really liked about him was very instinctual in the box as far as maneuvering through the hole. You know, it's tough to. The linemen are moving, the holes are all moving on the line, and I've got to slip under, I've got to slip underneath, or I've got to jet through this gap and be there. His instincts in the run game, filling the holes, obviously just a highlight tape, but those instincts looked like, oh, that's a skill that you really, really
just
want.
Just gets it. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think, you know, him and Kamari Brooks are both kind of that way where those two guys they just get it. They just get the position that they're playing. Now, the third guy who I think, again, you know, kind of rumor mill sparking up, but this seemingly is maybe the third guy that's leaning closer towards a commitment. Brian Williams Jr., a three-star wide receiver from Lake Mary, Florida. Now you hear three-star, and obviously, whatever. It's not what Alabama's looking for. We want four and five stars. You know, get that out of your brain. I think the
middle finger to you.
Yes, a lot of these stars at the end of the day are mostly worthless. Three stars become first-round draft picks every year. Five stars become undrafted players every year. It's just the nature of the game. So, you know, like I said, three-star prospect, but he is 6'4", 185 pounds. I think he fits the mold perfectly of what Kalen DeBoer and this staff have like well established at this point that they're looking for: a tall, lengthy receiver that can get go balls and can also run the field if you need him to. You know, watched his highlight tape. It's just clip after clip of him burning poor, small defensive backs that have no, it didn't stand a chance from the moment they stepped on the field. It is, you know, it's quick slants, just, oh, here's a touchdown. It's little go balls down the side where he's burning guys, leaving them 5-6 yards in the dust. He was doing a lot on that highlight tape. Very, very impressive player, I think. You know, skill set wise, it's not Lotsier or Brooks, but as far as just this staff's ability to evaluate talent, that's kind of where my brain went.
That part, like, okay, you started to address it with a 3-star part, and again, get that out of your mind. Mm-hmm. What you see in him, we've talked about it before on multiple shows, and right here on All Things Bama, I like the big body type. I like the tall. I like the length. You think back to my man Roma Dunze, and you just translate it through. We went after Caleb Odom. We are going after Sadarian Morgan right now. I think you're in good position for Sadarian to get one of Sadarian Morgan and Booby Feaster, one of the two. Probably more likely to get Morgan. Feaster is probably going to Georgia or an A&M.
Texas A&M is what I'm seeing really top hot, of his list.
Really hot on him. So I don't want to say that Brian Williams Jr. is a backup to Sadarian Morgan, but let's just say Georgia comes over the top and steals him from you. You're still going to want a big-bodied wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And look at this daggum wide receiver room. Who's not to say that you can't walk right in and play, but you're stacked up a little bit because of the talent in that room. I think that this guy, you put 15 pounds of muscle on Brian Williams Jr., and you see the tape where he is going past people, and then you're getting guys who are backed way off him, and he's running 10-yard stops, 11-yard stops, and it's just easy catch, easy reception. You know, for what, and we'll get into it with Ryan Grubb. I know you got Ryan Grubb notes here. For what Ryan Grubb wants to do, he talked about on the radio, getting down the field, big plays. I'm excited for, you know, I think that if you've zeroed in on Brian Williams Jr. and then you pop his tape on, it makes perfect sense.
I agree. Yeah, he is, like I said, he really fits the mold of what I think they've established they're looking for at this point. But that's really all the news on the recruiting front for this week. You know, here, real quick, before we move on, I will run through the Alabama is expected to have 9 official visitors this weekend. Some of them have not shown up yet, but are probably on their way to Tuscaloosa as we speak. Most notably on the list, 5-star Brandon Arrington, athlete prospect. I believe he is set to commit on July 5th. 4-star linebacker Nick Abrams, 4-star tight end Roman Voss, 4-star running back Javian Mallory. He's committed to Miami right now, but I think Alabama's kind of working hard to maybe get a flip there. 4-star linebacker Karan Maycock, also an ACC commit, committed to Florida State. He's been there since, I think, I want to say March is when he committed. So, you know, been with Florida State for a little bit, but Alabama, again, working to maybe land that flip there. 4-star D lineman Elijah Golden, just named Alabama as a finalist a week or two ago. 4-star cornerback Jaden Terry. He's another ACC commit. Now I'm blanking on who it was. I want to say Georgia Tech he's committed to. 4-star offensive tackle Wilson Zierer. And finally, 4-star offensive tackle Marky Walbridge, who, you know, crossing connections here, is a guy that is very high on Boston College's list, I'm aware of. So, you know, we'll see if Alabama can maybe steal him away from the Eagles there. I think if it's a player that both those schools are targeting, I'm going to say Alabama maybe gets the benefit of the doubt more often than not.
But you think Bill O'Brien is trashing Alabama? You think Bill O'Brien? Look, man, when I went there, the food was not good. The food this, the facilities that. There ain't nothing to do.
You know what he's saying? They're nothing like they used to be. I remember I was there when Saban was there. They're nothing like that. You don't want to go there. They're washed. They're falling off.
Boo on you, B.O.B.
Oh, man, but that's all the recruiting news from this
week. B.O.B. tortured me.
It was the highs were so high, but the lows were so low. And maybe it was just – maybe the highs were only high because it was Bryce Young and he made the highs look so high. But it felt like, man, when they're humming, they're humming. But then when they were bad, it was like, this is like watching paint dry.
Bryce Young winning a Heisman, running for his life.
Amazing. I'm very excited about what Bryce Young can do this year in the NFL. This is off topic, but I think he's going to have a big time season.
Yes, I'm very excited. I was talking about him last night. I was like, you know, I'm not – exactly young, but I'm not exactly old either. And I said, Bryce Young is the best quarterback I have ever seen in my entire life with my two eyes. And I hope that it really turns out for him.
Have you seen the like kind of freaky stat about the correlation between Ohio State winning a national championship and the Panthers going to the Super Bowl?
Oh, no.
The last three times, or the last, what, two times, I guess, the Ohio State has won a championship. So the 14 and then the one before that, the Panthers went to the Super Bowl that year. They did not win, obviously, the Panthers. But
02, right? Yeah. 01, 02, and then 14.
Mm-hmm. They went to the Super Bowl both years, and then we'll see what happens this season.
Bryce, baby.
All the stars are in alignment.
That's right.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Message and data rates may apply. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Oh, man. But back to topic here. We'll talk about what Greg... Let's talk about what Greg Byrne had to say this week on revenue sharing. For anybody who is not aware, the House versus NCAA settlement was approved last week, allowing for revenue sharing in college sports as well as increased scholarship limits. Schools can now basically pull from a pool of up to $20.5 million to distribute to their athletes. Sounds like however they see fit. Scholarships increased basically across the board as well. Excuse me. Football went from 85 to 105. Baseball from 11.7 to 34. Men's basketball from 13 to 15, softball from 12 to 25. The full list, our friend Hunter DeSiver wrote it all up on Bama Central. You can go there and find it. Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Did a really good job getting the whole table together. It's just super easy. One page, you look at it, and you can see what everybody's, you know, what the difference is between the previous scholarship limits and the ones now are. But I figured I'd give you the most notable sports here at Alabama.
Worth noting, though, you have gone up in scholarships. Katie did this on our show, too, and I think it's important. You can go to 34 baseball scholarships. You can go to 15 basketball scholarships, 105 football scholarships. I think Kalen DeBoer and Nate Oates will have the option to go all the way to 105 and 15 respectively. I don't think that Rob Vaughn is going to have the option to get all the way to 34. Now, he's definitely more than 11.7, so it's going to help. And goodness gracious, that was messed up as far as doing that to them. Splitting scholarships like that for that sport, not just like Rob Vaughn specifically, just the entire sport. It's crazy. I think Alabama, this is another reckless speculation guess, I think that Alabama baseball is probably going to be fully funding 22, 23, 24 scholarships, which is still a lot more.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you're going to max out at that 34.
Sure. Yeah. So our minds think exactly the same. That's like No, you're fine. That takes me perfectly to Greg Burns' tweet basically immediately after the House settlement happened. Greg Burns tweets, you know, this long PR statement, whatever. But the gist of it is, Alabama will offer new scholarships while fully funding revenue sharing. And I think, you know, he says that maybe Greg Byrne was not really thinking, I'm just going to kind of slip this in here. But it's certainly what it comes off like. Yeah, we'll just slip in that we will offer new scholarships, not guaranteeing that you will have the new scholarship. But we'll offer some. And yeah, you kind of went into it there, like, which teams are going to get left behind here? You know, which programs are only going to get maybe one or two extra scholarships or no extra scholarships because there's just not enough money there. It's certainly going to be some of them.
I tell you what my first guess is there's going to be a parameter. Like, let's just say baseball, you're at 25 now instead of 11.7. That's a big upgrade.
Yeah.
But I bet you if Rob Vaughn says, hey, Greg, I got a pitcher on the hook. I got a power hitter on the hook. He just needs a little more money. He just needs a little. I bet you there's going to be some sort of we can work with. But like, there's going to be a parameter, and I think it'll be a little give and take. Yeah. Like, you know, Patrick Murphy, I've got an ace pitcher, and I need one more scholarship. Mm-hmm. She's ready to commit. She's ready to come. I'll bet you there's going to be some leeway there, but I think that there will be a parameter.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. You know, you mentioned football and men's basketball probably will both have the option if they wish to take that full scholarship limit. But we've talked about this basketball roster a bunch.
He don't want to take 15.
I don't think he does. So that's two scholarships right there that you're not spending on the basketball program. And, you know, I don't know what Kalen DeBoer and the staff are doing there, but, you know, they might not reach that full 105 limit. Now, they very well could. It wouldn't shock me if they did, but who knows? Maybe they're sitting there with, you know, 100 scholarships, and there's five more. So yeah, I think you're right. Where it will probably there will be a little bit of give and take there.
Year to year. My only question is, like, I know the walk-ons in football are grandfathered in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly, and I believe that the for basketball as well. Will Coach Oates have to use these? You know, we're at 12 right now.
Yeah.
Will he have to, not this year, but next year, use scholarship 13, 14, and 15 on quality what would have been walk-ons? I don't know that. I think that creates a layer of complication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. So, you know, he also later on in the week goes on to Jocks 94.5 in Birmingham and is asked about private equity, whether or not Alabama has any interest in that. And, yeah, basically gives it a big thumbs down, saying, the direct quote here. We've had all sorts of people from private equity come at us. Burns said, we're Alabama. People often want to have us involved in different things. Mm-mm. I have not seen a model that makes any sense whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
Private equity is not going to care about Olympic sports. They're not going to care about academics and responsibilities that we have there. They are very bottom line driven. They're good at what they do. Could I see a program ever doing that? I guess. But private equity is going to want their return.
I'm sorry.
Bingo. I mean, like, it's perfect. That's just exactly what I want him to say, because he's exactly right. That is all of your favorite things that suck now, it's because private equity got involved, basically. Like, we talk on your show a lot about WWE being worse now. Why do you think that is? Oh, because all their focus now is their bottom line. They couldn't really care less about the storytelling. Is, well, how can we sell more merch? How can we push more stuffed iguanas to people now? You know,
stupid.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Greg Byrne is exactly right here. And it sounds like he is... Not that I think Alabama will, but it sounds like he is at least willing to potentially struggle to find $20.5 million if it comes at the cost of, you know, hey, we're not going to have private equity involved.
Yeah, you have to keep ownership of your own product, in my opinion. Now, the only place where I think that, now this isn't me saying this from not all the info, the only place where I think that Greg Byrne should consider a little private equity is with a new basketball stadium project. If we have to call it the State Farm Arena,
sure.
If we have to call it the T-Mobile Arena, yeah. Now obviously it wouldn't be that. It'd be like whatever, PNC Bank,
sure,
or whoever.
Like,
and yes, you have to give them a certain amount of dates to fill, and they can make money off their concerts, but we've got our home games. Like, that would be the only place. And,
yeah.
and then I would really... If you did go that route, you got to make it a limited time contract. Yes, it's, and I say limited time, it'd probably be 15, 20, 30 years,
yeah,
right?
But then after that,
it's all ours, right?
We get to name it, you know, Sanderson Oats Arena.
Exactly. Yes. But even then, I'm cautious.
Yeah.
Even then, I'm cautious because what are they saying about concession stand prices? What are they saying about how many seats they can put in? What are they saying about design? I want Greg Byrne and his vision and his team, and it may just be crimson colored glasses for me, but I want those people making the decisions for the University of Alabama and not random investor XYZ.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the people that are here with their, you know, boots on the ground every
yes.
day are the ones that actually care about the outcome, not just about making more money. And that's what, you know, a lot of these private equity firms care about, is just like Greg Byrne said, their bottom line. And that's not what you need in this, especially not now. You know, if you're upset with how college sports have gone the last 5 or 6 years, like, the introduction of this would just make them infinitely worse. Oh, we'll see. He also mentioned this week that Alabama has already sorted out how the money is going to get split, but he was very quick to say that that information will not be public, which I guess I can't blame him. But just to provide a bit of clarity there, for example, Georgia did release its plans in February.
Really? What do you have?
The approximate plans,
sure.
Stating football will make at least 75%, which will be about $13.5 million. Men's basketball 15%, $2.7 million. Women's basketball 5%, and the remaining sports 5%.
I think we can give or take percentage points. Basically, assume that the model is very similar.
I would say so as well. I think, like you said, there's probably a parameter in there where football is like, oh, we're going to give you between 73 and 78%.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Basketball, you're going to get between 12 and 16, 17%, whatever it is. And then, you know, that you play with those extra few percentage points here and there to divvy them up as you see fit. Because, like you said, somebody somewhere in some program will have, well, hey, we got this guy we absolutely got to have. We got to figure out, make a way to make it happen. And then, you know, sure, Greg Byrne will be and meetings with Nate Oates and whoever this coach is to say, well, Nate, we need a scholarship, you know, and it'll go that way.
Yeah, and look, I had one of our listeners in the DMs about RevShare just a little bit this week, and asking, because we were talking about the recruits that we just mm-hmm. mentioned at the very beginning, Kamari Brooks, and I said, we got to get this fella. And he said, well, can we compete in the money sphere? And I said, yes, with RevShare, with RevShare, you will be able to compete a lot more because of RevShare and NIL Go, which I think you're going to get into it right there.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to say, oh, the football budget is at least 13 mil, right? If we're taking the Georgia model and just making it 1-to-1, it's at least 13. So if we need 500, 300, what, pick your number,
whatever
doesn't
it
matter, to help this recruit along, I think you've got it. Way, I mean, it does stink because you're taking it out of somewhere else in the budget as far for Alabama, because that $20.5 million was going to projects, was going to athletic department employees,
mm-hmm.
was going to just pick whatever line item in the budget that you like the most. It was going into that,
yeah.
in a little way, and some of that's going to have to be adjusted. But it does put Alabama football onto a plane, into a playing sphere, to where you're not having to go beg the donors for, well, this football player said he'll come if he only gets another 100K, sure. And we need to drum up 100K. Now, there will still be, we want to drum up donations. That'll never stop. But I just think that this aspect of the settlement is a positive for big boy football.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you mentioned NIL go there. That is exactly where I wanted to go next. Greg Byrne also kind of talked about that a little bit this week, going into the, I mean, not even really any detail, but I guess you could say he talked about what will the punishments would be if you were to have a deal that is flagged. Not, I mean, basically, as he describes it, and you can go to the website yourself, literally, just look up NIL. It's very short. You have a student email login. If you've got a login for somebody, you just log right in. We gotta find us a really low down the depth chart tennis player or something that is not signing a ton of NIL deals that we can just use their login for. Or maybe we get somebody connected at the university that can make us a fake account so we can sign in.
Well, you heard. I think we might be getting a hookup with our coworker whose father is going to be involved in some of this, like just valuation marketing.
What I want to do is I just want the ability to go on there and say, hey, I'm this so-and-so is paying me $400,000 for this right here, and just see what happens. See if it gets approved. See what that process looks like. See if I get contacted. Hey, we need records. We need that. I have to know what that process looks like, because Greg Byrne has told us this week, Deloitte is not telling anybody what that formula looks like that they are using to determine whether these deals are fair market or not. And I think that's a big red flag for me. I think that information should at bare minimum be shared with these schools, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a lot of fun to get that information and to be able to see how fair Deloitte is being.
Yeah, my main concern is just it's going to be, and we talked about it on your show, it's going to be, oh, this 28-year-old accountant, he graduated from Georgia. Well, Georgia just paid a kid $1 million for an Instagram post. Oh, yeah, sure, that looks great. That's above board. No big deal. That's about market value. And then it's going to be, well, Vanderbilt wants to pluck a kid from Tennessee, and no, you can't have that. That's not fair value. You know, that's what I'm worried about, is things like that happening. So we'll just kind of have to see. I think it's just a wait and see thing. You know, we're going to have to find out just by watching it go into effect.
But it is better than nothing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I trust it's better than nothing. So I'll give it at least that. I just still wish it was going to be a team of, you know, people from Switzerland that had no idea about American football.
Do we just make it AI? I mean, I know I'm very anti-AI.
I'm super anti-AI, as a principle. Especially at this moment right now, given what we've gone through this week.
Right, but I think that, do you just let the AI bots decide, and then it's like, argue with your mama?
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with a computer, you know, hey. Oh, man, but I don't know.
But you know that, like, okay, then your argument's going to be, well, they're programmed to devalue the athlete. Blah, 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 blah,
biased,
blah.
Biased computer learning, right, or something, biased learning models. Yeah, there's a lot more that's going to – this will not be the last that you hear about this, probably even this week. I'm sure there will be, you know, whether it's Greg Byrne making another comment, where, you know, whether it's someone else very high up somewhere making another comment about this, this is not the last that you'll hear about NIL Go and the, you know, the revenue sharing and everything. So I want to move off of that now and get into Ryan Grubb just a little bit. I teased it at the beginning of the show. Ryan Grubb joined The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9 this week, and really talked about the quarterback position a good bit. Honestly, did not give us a ton of insight, but I think gave us a little bit of at least a glimpse of kind of what he values in a quarterback. He didn't really tell us about what's going on behind the closed doors of the Malmore facility, but he did talk about his philosophy a little bit and what he needs to see from his quarterback. He gave us his non-negotiables for a quarterback. First thing being, here, I got the quote here. I think the first thing is just to be an elite decision maker. And, you know, you obviously have to have the physical attributes as well, so you can spread the ball to the right place on the field. But decision-making, command, and leadership are non-negotiables. Those are things that every great quarterback's got to have. I mean, bingo. You know, I think he's exactly right. That's what you're looking for. We talked about Bryce Young a little bit earlier. That is what Bryce Young was an elite decision-maker. There was zero hesitation to every throw he made. He knew exactly where he was going with the ball, and he was confident that he was going to get it there and get it there well. Ryan Grubb also said you have to have, a championship-level team, where you can't have a championship-level team when you don't have a guy that's the same guy showing up every day.
I think that part, keep going. Is the full quote there? I think that was so huge when he talked about that.
That's one thing we talked about a bit in the quarterback room, being the same guy every day so your teammates know what to expect, yeah. Know that you're going to push them, and know that you're also going to support them.
I think he continued there, but like he basically just elaborated on the thought. Mm-hmm. You want your teammate to know Billy's going to hold me accountable every day. He's not going to one day, hey man, that route needs to be at 10 yards, and then the next day not care if it's mm-hmm. at 10 yards. Like, you just got to be consistent so that they know who you are at practice and in the huddle at game day. Like, okay, this is what everybody expects. This is the standard. And, you know, if you are an encourager, if that's your personality type, be that. If you are, a bit of a hard driver, hard-nosed driver, be that. Just be who you are and be consistent at it. And I think that is so huge for the quarterback position. And, you know, I think it takes some time for players to learn that. I think it takes some time for quarterbacks to find that consistency first and be confident in that consistency and really just embrace that. I think that takes a maturity level mm-hmm. that is not common.
Yeah, I mean, being that guy is tough. Being the one who is there holding everyone else accountable when all of you, you know, when at the end of the day, like, these are your friends, these are your peers, these are not your, you know, like, it's not like you're their superior or anything. You're not their boss. Like, you're all just teammates here, but you still have to step up into that leadership role and kind of take that on. And I imagine, yeah, like you said, that's kind of tough to psych yourself up to do, especially, you know, just speaking from personal experience. Like, I'd never want to be the person who is, everybody, we got to do this. You know, I'm very happy to just kind of say, all right, just tell me what to do and I'll do it and I'm good to go. Let's see. Ryan Grubb also mentioned he did say that Ty Simpson is still in the lead, though the competition is open. He said Ty took care of the football better, which we know this. He operated better. I thought he improved for an older quarterback, and I know he's young in playing or starting experience, but he is an older guy. I thought, especially towards the latter part of the spring, he really started to show more of those characteristics. He also said that I think once the fall opens back up, they're going to let him compete, I believe were his words. So, you know, this is not anything new. We have known for a month now that Ty Simpson has been in the lead, or longer than that even. I still think it is... I think the staff is kind of putting it out there like, hey, he can be beat. You can come take this job if you want to, Keelan Russell or Austin Mack. But for now, we're going to roll with Austin, with Ty. And, you know, I mentioned the Austin Mack there, and I think Ryan Grubb said this directly to me, I think, said this just for me in the Austin Mack camp. He was asked who the best pure thrower is in the quarterback room, and his answer was none other than the talented Austin Mack, the future starting quarterback for the Alabama Crimson Tide. I still believe we still got running water at the camp. You know, everything else is gone. Our fence is gone. Our mess hall is gone. We have no bunks. We have no watchtower. But we got running water, and that's all that matters. We're still alive, and we're still kicking. I still believe in Austin Mack.
Oh, well, there's no reason not. Well, he's not giving you any reason not to believe in him. It's just maybe not necessarily his time. Because of Ty Simpson's circumstances, I wonder if you're Austin Mack, you're hoping that Ty Simpson just has the best year ever, and Keelan and Austin both sit on the bench still baking, and you get a fresh crack at that quarterback competition next December, and Ty Simpson goes to the NFL.
Probably.
You could also
just hope that he has a disastrous week one against Florida State, and they're like, well, we got to get somebody else out there.
Are you going straight to Austin Mack, or is it the child?
I would think you're probably going to at least throw Mack out there. I don't know, though.
Yeah, I mean, I
think...
Go ahead.
It sounds like, you know, he just needs to rein it in a little bit. You know, utilize what sounds like a very big arm just a bit more efficiently. I think, like what Ryan Grubb said, Ty probably did take care of the football better throughout spring. I think he's probably a little bit more of the calm, cool, and collected, you know, not making as many mistakes and things like that. But I think from Austin Mack and from Keelan Russell as well, you just have more upside with those two guys.
Yeah, I do definitely think that your upside's higher with Russell and Mack than it is with Simpson. But
you might not need that upside this year.
Right.
You know, we've compared this team to 2020 a bunch, or at least I have. I still think it's kind of a similar position where you're just not going to need a ton from your quarterback. And, you know, you're not going to need a Bryce Young level performance this season. You need a Mac Jones type performance because you have the receivers, you have a strong offensive line, you got good running backs, you have a very strong defense. And I think a lot of that is going to carry you to success this season. Oh man, let's see. That's really all I've got for today. I mentioned this on your show just to throw it out there. Alabama did get scheduled against Clemson for the SEC ACC challenge. Not stoked about that. But
I think my takes developed a little bit about that. Go ahead, and then I'll get into it.
I mean, just doesn't really overly excite me. You know, we talked about it with I think Katie Windham this week. The brands there, you know, the Louisville basketball brand is not quite there for me that it is for a Louisville, that it is for a Virginia, that it is for, you know, North Carolina, Duke, any of those other teams up there in the ACC. And so I'm just not stoked about it. You know, I still think it'll be a good game. I think Clemson's a fine basketball program, but I'm just not overly excited about it.
On surface level, I'm not. But then consider a couple factors here. You have the Elite Eight matchup where Alabama wins to go to the first Final Four. So we want to recapture that. Last year, Bama goes to Carolina for this challenge, and that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, Clemson came to Tuscaloosa for this challenge, and that was one of the worst basketball experiences I have had. Now, it wasn't Norfolk State. No, it wasn't that. But it was
up there.
It might have been one of the worst experiences in the Nate Oates era that I've had for multiple factors. It was on a Tuesday night at like 9 o'clock or whatever, late, and the crowd was absolutely awful. No, I'm sorry to say that. I mean that with no disrespect, but the crowd was like 5 people. No, it was probably like 9,500 people. It was you didn't get over 10K in that place. And if you think I'm lying, just listen to Jay Williams. That was the tennis match game.
Ah.
That was it's like a tennis match in here. And maybe he's not objective, but that was his take, so that's 2 takes. It was a horrible experience. And Ian Sheflin beat the dog mess out of Jaren Stevenson on the boards, and it was just so frustrating. So I am a little more excited than I was on what was this announced? Wednesday. I'm a little bit more excited now thinking about the circumstances and the opportunity for the program to, one, get that win back in Coleman Coliseum, to provide the fan base with a chance to redeem themselves, and we can show the Clemson Tigers really the growth from, you know, y'all came here 2 years ago,
sure,
and, you know, barely anybody, the place wasn't going nuts. Look what's happened in 2 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's valuable. I would like to see that hopefully happen. You mentioned Sheflin. Is he playing basketball as well as football this year, or
no,
is he
I'm
just
pretty
playing
sure,
football?
I'm pretty sure he's out of basketball eligibility.
Oh,
or has just
okay.
decided to go full-time football.
Right,
I'm not
cool.
exactly sure, but my understanding is he's not playing basketball.
Well, good deal. That's one thing you don't have to worry about if you're Alabama. I'm not kept up with Clemson's recruiting in the basketball world, but he was a, you know, there was a reason he was dominating Jaren Stevenson on the board as a big boy. You know, glad to see that he won't be on the court for Clemson. A little bit of news just before we get out of here. Alabama locks in a lot of their game times for this year. Let's see. I know I had it pulled up. I think I accidentally closed it now, unfortunately. There was a lot of opportunities for night games. I know Alabama LSU was locked in as a night game. Alabama Georgia locked in as a night game. And then several of the other ones have the option to be flexed. Here we go, from Hunter to Siver. So let's see. We already knew ULM is going to be 6:45 p.m. Georgia 6:30 p.m. Vandy flex from 2:30 to 7. Tennessee flex from 2:30 to 7. South Carolina flex from 2:30 to 7. Oklahoma flex from 2:30 to 7. And Auburn flex from 2:30 to 7. So a lot of opportunities for some good night games. Hopefully under the crimson lights this year, we will have to see what the college football gods hold for Alabama this season. The most important one to me is that LSU night game. It's going to be huge.
That's going to be a great experience for the fan base. 2 years ago was pretty nice. Night game. Jalen Milroe gets it done. Brian Kelly was so mad. I got to be in the visitors locker room for that. Brian Kelly was so mad. Because I'm pretty sure I asked him what went wrong. I mean, defending Jalen Milroe, and he was all like, wah, 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 That was the year that LSU's defense was horrible.
That was when Milrow, it was just that same play. It was, all right, Milrow, get out and run to the right, wasn't it? And he just took off for 40 yards every time he touched it?
That was last year a little
bit. Okay, was it last year? I'm just
Two years ago in Brian Denny, I mean, he scrambled a lot. It was sit in the pocket, scramble. Yes. They couldn't do anything with him. It was Jaden Daniels, and they were going kind of blow for blow until Dallas Turner gave him a concussion.
That's right. Yes, it's coming back now. So, yeah, good things for this year for Alabama. I'm excited for that, the schedule, excited about the matchups here they got, excited that hopefully we'll get a lot of night games. But like I said, that's all I got for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. Remind you all to follow me and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_ and at JoeGaither6. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast from. Leave us a 5-star rating. We will be back next week to talk more Crimson Tide news on the All Things Bama Podcast.
Messages. Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.